Is that Mark? You said you want to trade Manny Machado for Chris Stewart?
Oh, that's so nice.
What a guy. Best guest ever. Okay, so welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, the podcast which is probably recorded with as little clothes on as possible, at least on my end. I'm getting a bit too personal with this opening, so my apologies to any of our many listeners. I'm Greg Kirkland, I'm giving you a raise, and with me tonight is Tanya and only Andrew. Jason is not with us tonight. He had previous other engagements, like, I think he's in jail. Any word on Jason?
Andrew had the idea that he tried to go steal J.R. Murphy, so maybe he's in jail. I think kidnapping is probably frowned upon.
I don't know why. We really could use J.R. Murphy right now, unless you like the defensive stylings of our defensive warlock, Chris Stewart.
God, terrible.
Let's just ask now, is he anyone's Mitre of the week this week?
He's everyone in the world's Mitre.
Might be the consensus Mitre of the week.
Except for Mark Feinsand, who, you know, loved to boast how he's only had two errors this year. But being that, you know, he watches the game every day like we do, somehow doesn't quite notice that Chris Stewart can't catch fastballs down the plate.
He turned a strikeout into two runs.
I mean,
that is impressive.
Just never forget that, because that happened.
Speaking of that, I would like to promote our new Twitter account, at Yankees GIFs, because that's fantastic work that our new Matthew F. has been doing with that. Because that one Chris Stewart missing the fastball down the middle of the plate, I probably watched that for 20 times before I came close to vomiting. So I had to stop. It's really, really detailed work.
Some good stuff.
You need to step up your game, Andrew. I'm just calling you out right now.
Andrew and I contribute to that Twitter.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do, but our new Matt F. is...
Hey,
I
tweeted Mariano Rivera striking out a very, very fat John Kruk.
Yeah.
That happened. 1995.
Speaking of John Kruk, our best wishes to him for the Chris Stewart syndrome of dehydration. Get these people some water.
I just don't understand.
Chris Stewart syndrome. I like it.
I just don't understand how these grown men who are or were professional athletes are like, I'm just not going to drink water for a while. That's the worst that can happen.
They think
dehydration.
The Gatorade jug is overrated.
Chris Sale does.
Chris Sale destroyed that jug.
Like, no fat. Ugh. But yeah, no, I don't understand either how people succumb to Chris Stewart syndrome.
So bizarre. Like, unless you are deathly ill, I just don't understand how you get dehydrated.
So, since Jason is not with us tonight, we have a special guest. Being that the Yankees will be facing the Orioles this weekend, and it is a crucial, crucial series for both teams, we have with us the host of Camden Chat and one of the writers on Camden Chat, Mark Brown. We will get to him later because, well, he's not important right now. I'm calling him out, too. I'm calling everyone out on this podcast. Guys need to gif it up a bit more, and he comes later. It's a good thing I'm perfect.
Barely.
Are we in agreement on that? All right, silence. There we go. All right, so let's get to our topics of discussion. What the hell are they?
Well, that Orioles series coming up this weekend, tonight, is going to be pretty crucial to the Yankees' continuing playoff hopes because if they have another poor showing like they did in Toronto, then they may very well find themselves done with the playoff race at the beginning of September. Because if they go in there and the A's and Rays don't have a sweep, then they're probably going to end up maybe even 7 games out.
I wouldn't say it's completely over because, you know, anything's possible, but it is huge. I mean, this is a team we really need to beat. I mean, if you look at the coming month of September, after the Orioles, they've got the White Sox, who, for all intents and purposes, they should sweep. They have the Red Sox for 4 games, which, depending on the Orioles series, will be the next most crucial series for us. Then we face the Orioles again 4 games, then the Red Sox, Blue Jays, Giants, Rays, and Astros. So a lot of those teams should be beatable.
Yeah, but I mean, the A's have a very easy schedule, and
that they do.
There are just so many teams that the Yankees have to jump, and they don't play Cleveland again, and they have a very uphill climb, especially if they don't do well against the Orioles this weekend. And I mean, kind of before even now, every series has been one that they need to at least win. And the bad teams are the ones that they need to at least win and preferably sweep. And they lost 2 of 3 to the Blue Jays. And
I mean, it was probably bound to happen at some point because they were 12-1 against the Blue Jays entering that series.
Yeah, I mean, it was completely understandable.
Yeah,
but
still don't
want to
see it.
At this point, they can't afford it.
Right.
Like, if they want to make the playoffs, they can't, even though it makes sense from, you know, a mathematical standpoint that eventually they were going to lose to the Blue Jays. But,
well, mathematically, they should sweep the White Sox to make up for that sweep that they had last month.
Ugh.
I guess it was earlier this month.
0-7 against the White Sox and Mets is really a black mark on the season.
I mean, I'm the most optimistic of fans, and that White Sox sweep, like, sapped my soul and my spirit.
Yeah,
that was the most depressing series of the year for me.
Yeah, that's the low point of the season. And they rebounded, basically, right after that White Sox series ended, and that's what led them to their recent hot streak. But they seem to have pulled off a little bit. I think they've lost 4 of their last 6 games. Something like
that. Well, there's a reason for that, and I think one of the main reasons is Hiroki Kuroda has not pitched that well the past 2 series.
Regression is not fun.
No.
I mean, you know, it's not even that Kuroda is, you know, going to be bad. It's just that he was due to kind of crash back to Earth at some point.
Well, maybe we're getting some more positive returns on CC Sabathia now.
Evening.
And Andy Pettit. He has pitched pretty decently the past 2 times.
You know, Hughes doesn't know what regression is. He's just like, what a concept. Regression.
Hughes just allowed regression a 500-foot home run. So.
Yeah.
Said, can you sprinkle regression on meatballs? Flavoring.
I just noticed on the Yankees website for probables, it talks about Phil Hughes on Sunday. It said, Hughes called his last start a, quote, hiccup. It's like, what, you mean the entire season? I mean,
yeah, unfortunately, like, this case of hiccups hasn't stopped. Like, no one's patted him on the back or, you know, told them to, whatever.
It's not a hiccup, he's, like, choking on a chicken bone.
I thought you were going somewhere else with that, so you probably said the best thing there. I know I could think of something more vocal to say about Phil Hughes' starts as of late. He's just so terrible.
I mean, what they actually should probably do is just start Andy Pettit on Sunday since they can get him on regular rest because of the off day, but it doesn't look like they're going to do that, or even start, like, David Huff and play the Adam Warren caddy or whatever, which honestly would inspire more confidence than Phil Hughes at this point.
Well, it's like they said that the Yankees agree that the Orioles series is important, which I would hope that they would, because if they don't, then they're not paying attention. But it's like, well, if you agree that it's important, then it kind of needs to be all hands on deck. You need to call up J.R. Murphy. You need to start someone over Hughes. Otherwise, you don't agree that it's important because you're putting out an inferior product.
I mean, listen, the Blue Jays aren't the best of example, but David Huff has pitched very well in his past 2 relief appearances. Not just well, but very well, I would say. Would you say very well? I don't
know.
Well, the thing is that no matter whether you say it's well or very well, those are not words that you're using right now to describe Phil Hughes.
Exactly. He's pitching better than Phil Hughes. He's shown he can go at least 5 innings. So, who knows? I mean, you start that, and like Andrew said, you start Warren if, you know, Huff starts to fall down, which is very possible because he is still David Huff. But at this point, you have to try something. If you're making a serious push for the playoffs, and like you said, Waffles, if this series is so crucial, Hughes needs to not be starting. He's not good. And he's, for God's sakes, he's given up home runs in Petco Park. And not like cheap home runs, too, like bombs. That's impressive.
Well, I think one of the things that's been kind of frustrating about the Yankees this season is that there's so much room for improvement, but they've been seemingly looking for, like, a home run improvement, like someone who's just, like, so good. And it's like, well, they don't have to be so good. They just have to be better than what we're putting out there.
Right.
And that's just it. They have gotten a home run improvement. And, you know, Soriano, A-Rod's hitting bombs, Granderson's back. They're all hitting pretty decently. But that's no excuse for not replacing Chris Stewart with either Austin Romine, who actually is hitting better, than Stewart lately, or like you said, calling up J.R. Murphy.
I mean, that's a good example of it. It's like, you know, Austin Romine is not the next, you know, Mike Trout or Buster Posey or, you know, what he's not that kind of player.
He's barely the next Josh Willingham.
He's better than Chris Stewart. So why are we not playing him regularly because he's Austin Romine? Well, sure, but I mean, I'm not even an Austin Romine fan, but
yeah,
it's not debatable that he's better right now.
Yeah, I apologize, but yeah, no, I mean, none of us are saying that Austin Romine is going to be good, but at this point, ride the lightning in a bottle.
Well, that, and what do you have to lose? Like, can he be worse?
I don't think it's possible at this
point. And Chris Stewart is like, moving beyond the fact that he's Chris Stewart, he's run down. He's a career backup, and he's played way more games than he's ever played in his career. So obviously he's going to be a little fatigued. He doesn't drink his water. So.
It doesn't make sense to me, and it's really frustrating.
And I don't trust the Yankees to really play J.R. Murphy, even if they do call him up as their third catcher in September.
Yeah. That's the real problem, because if they're going to call him up, they better play him. And I think we all know they're not, just based on the Chris Stewart, Austin Romine conundrum they have going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
They should call up Greg Bird.
It's just Chris Stewart does not have a future on this team. J.R. Murphy might. Austin Romine might as a backup. So, especially this season, which it does not look good for the playoffs, like, why are we not allowed to see what we might have for the future?
Exactly. It's not like normal years where the Yankees have a significant lead and are pretty much, at this point, a lock to make the playoffs. That's what previous Yankee years are like, so you can understand why they might not want to go with the unexpected because, you know, what they might have might be working for them, might be gelling, if you want to call it that. Who knows? But what's going on now is not gelling. Chris Stewart is the opposite of gelling, rocking, flailing, failing. I don't know. It's not good. He's not good. I don't care what Feinstein says.
I mean, the Yankees could play the best ball that they can for the rest of the season and still miss the playoffs. So there's nothing to lose.
Yeah. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. That's really all there is to it. And it's the same regard as to why you should start David Huff over Phil Hughes. Because
Phil Hughes does not have a future place on this team. He's gone. I see no way that he is back next year.
The only way I see him back is in the bullpen. And then you start David Huff anyway. Because, you know, Phil Hughes even said, I can sign as a reliever. And some team might sign him and make him a reliever at this point. You know, he shows potential to at least possibly be a decent, you know, reliever, even a setup for man for all we know. It's just he's really shown very little signs that he can be consistent as a starter.
Yep. Scroll.
Maybe move Hughes to the pen and launch Jabba into the sun.
Oh, let's not even get started on Jabba. Actually, let's get started on Jabba.
I hate him. Like, I feel so bad, but I hate him. Like, when I see his face, I'm just like, get off my team.
Okay.
It's bad. It's bad. It's like, I don't feel that way about Yankees, but I feel that way about him. It's just, his face.
That sounds like the hate you reserve for, like, Duke players or...
I know! That's what I'm saying. I don't have these feelings about people on my team, but I do with Jabba and Stewart. Just worthless pieces of crap.
I don't know if there's anything we can add to that, Andrew. That's pretty much says it all right
there.
Canon.
Am I wrong? Like, does anybody see Jabba coming into the game? They're like, well, this is an acceptable decision.
No, seriously, we were down 5 runs yesterday, and he was using a mop-up roll, and I was still saying launch him into the sun, because he's terrible. He's just bad, you know?
He makes the enjoyment of watching baseball less.
He sucks the fun.
By being.
Or eats the fun.
Exactly.
Because he's so fat.
He is
the humbler of enjoyment.
I wouldn't even associate the humbler with him.
The humbler needs to...
The humbler doesn't want to waste his
if you
time
are listening
on job.
It might not have a pitch fast enough to like get through the fat. The fat just might like bounce it off.
The humbler will have to call on his trampoline friend, Trampler.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, I agree. Jabba Chamberlain needs to go. why, again, no one's saying that his Lord Preston Claiborne has struggled a bit, but even he is a better option in the bullpen than Jabba. But he was sent down, and Jabba was still kept on this team because the Yankees, because that's how the Yankees do things. They wait till the end of the year to make decisions, but during the course of the year, they don't make moves that would seemingly help them.
Why is he on the team? Like, yeah. Is it really anything lost if he is gone? And are we that afraid of another team picking him up? Because I would think that we would welcome that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they like his clubhouse chemistry.
They need to set that chemistry set ablaze, because that is a terrible reason. I mean, and what fan would complain? What fan would say, why are you giving up Jabba?
I'm sure there are some.
Oh, of course there are some. I mean, you know, if you're a fan, you can make the argument, well, they ruined him. It's like, well, yeah, you know, maybe they did. But, oh well, it's time to move on.
Maybe they did, but, like, cut your losses and move on.
When you break a product, you don't keep it around hoping it works again. You return it for something better.
Yeah, like, when you shatter a glass vase, you're not like, I could probably glue that back together and throw some water in it.
I said,
no, you're like, well, garbage.
The water's leaking out a bit, but maybe if I put it in this bin, it can still hold flowers.
I mean, every time you fill it with water, it, like, starts spewing like a fountain. But, I mean, if you don't look at that or the duct tape that we've wrapped around that, then...
It's serviceable.
If you close one of your eyes and... from a distance...
It seems like a reliever.
I mean, that's what we're at.
No, it really is. I mean, and again, even thinking of his Lord Preston Claiborne, what about Dellen? He got the raw deal. Bring him up. Why are we waiting 2 days, especially with the series being as crucial as it is this weekend? Why are we waiting these 2 days to call people up? Bring him up now.
And, like, Vernon Wells? Ichiro?
Yeah, they've both shown very little signs of life lately. Especially Ichiro.
I was fine with playing Ichiro every day because Vernon Wells can't play defense at all. But we have Soriano now, and a combination of Soriano and Granderson are much better options.
Soriano, Granderson, and Gardner should be the outfield.
Yes, because unlike Vernon Wells, they made up for their lack of defense with their offense.
So why is Granderson DHing to put Ichiro in the field when he hasn't hit since...
July?
His 4,000th.
July, yeah.
Or his 4,000th hit. But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and I have nothing against Ichiro at all. I think he's a good ball player, but he's not hitting right now, and you need a playoff push, so...
That contract was so stupid. Ugh. When Ichiro, or whoever with Ichiro, called the Yankees and said that the Phillies were offering 2 years, they should have been like, thank you, click. Like, why? They were like, yes.
I was going to say, there's a lot of, like, hate syrup on this podcast right now.
Well, there's a lot to hate.
Yes.
I mean, they just lost 2-3 to the Blue Jays. I mean, and it killed all, like, not all, but it killed a lot of the good...
A lot of the momentum.
It killed a lot of the good buzz that was going on from previous few series, even though Soriano still hit some dingers. We should talk about Soriano a little bit. He's ridiculous.
He's really good.
Again, I love the 0-for-17 slump. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just get out of that right now.
No, and I mean, he hasn't been bad on defense. I know that was a big concern for everyone, was what he would be in the outfield. I mean, he hasn't been Brett Gardner, but he hasn't embarrassed himself at all.
Yeah, but no one's Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of that, Brett Gardner still getting on base. Yeah. Love that, man. But, no, Soriano's been fine on defense. Hell, he's been stealing bases.
He had that big one in the Rays series.
Yeah.
Helped them salvage the game.
He's a good base stealer. He looks like he knows when to jump. That was always Bernie's biggest problem. He was a fast, you know, he's a fast player, but he couldn't get a jump for the life of him.
He's tied for Vernon Wells for Yankee homers.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. In a few days. Which, again, goes to show you, really, like, you know, because people are going to look at, you know, the problems that happened this year. You know, why didn't the Yankees make it? And the answer is easy. Because few teams can survive the injuries and re-injuries that the Yankees sustained this year. The fact they're even in contention for a playoff spot is a testament to how decent they are, or could have been, with a half, even a half quasi-good offense this year, and not the Reed Brignacs and Chris Nelsons of the world.
Yep.
I mean, they're very lucky that Cano didn't break his hand.
Oh, yeah, that would have...
Screw you, J-Hap.
Bean him. Bean Hap. Bean now. Him. Humbler, go.
Because if Cano's hand was broken, that's that it. Was it.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Wrap it up.
Even
Owl.
I give up. I'm like, we're done.
Like, with that bone, so goes the Yankees season. Because
yep. Oh, I would have quit. And I've been calling for first place for the Yankees. And I was like, no, done. We're done.
And with the way 2013 is gone, I'm shocked that it's not broken.
I'm shocked Nunez is healthy, too.
Well, he did act like he got shot. Nunez is the biggest drama queen that just, like, ever existed. Like, every time something touches him, he's just like, oh my god.
He's like, his helmet storms off of him.
Yeah. He's a soccer player, pretty much, when he gets injured.
Insane.
Girardi's like, we call that a Nunez-ism.
And the other night, even, like, after he was in the lineup and then scratched from the lineup, he was like, yeah, I think it's bad. I think I'm going on the DL. I think it's bad. And it was like, x-rays and MRI showed nothing. I was like, good job, oh. Nunez.
It's like, oh.
Maybe Derek Jeter is intimidating him.
Or the humbler. I've got my eye on you.
Nunez.
I'll take care of Hap. Seriously, Hap needs to go. Like, that's... I was calling for his head. If Cano was injured, I was calling for his head.
I was really disappointed that Al Leiter was kind of defending him, because...
He's a pitcher. I mean,
yeah, but it was just kind of weird that he was so insistent upon the fact that if a batter gets hit... Unless it's, like, 8 inches inside, then it's not their fault. And it's like, well, they have to stand there, especially left-handers. They have to stand up there and guard the inside of the plate. So what do you want them to do? Like, I mean, if Cano stood back, like, he would get called out on strikes inside every time. So, I don't know. I think that he was a bit off base with that one.
We're getting a bit... ragey here. We should bring in Mark Brown now.
Yeah.
And as promised, we would like to welcome our special guest from the Baltimore Orioles sister site, Camden Chat, host of the Camden Chat podcast, Mark Brown. I don't know your last name.
That is my last name.
Hey, all right. All right, 2 for 2. All right, welcome. Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, Mr.
Yes,
Brown.
I am the podcaster who was promised.
Yes. And the one we need right now.
Mine is the Song of Black and Orange.
All right, so... with
so
the,
baseball.
Yeah, baseball, with the Orioles-Yankees series coming up. I would say it's pretty crucial for both teams. Winning would be important, but obviously we want the Yankees to win, and obviously you want the Yankees to win, because you're nice.
I'm not that nice.
No, okay. I didn't think so. But, yeah, so I guess we'll start with the most important question for all our guests. Which do you prefer, pancakes or waffles?
Well, I'm kind of not really a breakfast food guy very much, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a shame.
Yeah. You can all call right. me cereal, I guess, because that's about all I eat.
What is your favorite cereal?
I have many cereals that I will eat. I don't really have a favorite.
You get the variety box?
No. No variety boxes either. Just many boxes.
At least, is Honey Nut Cheerios a part of that?
Yes, because then I'm like Omar from The Wire. He loves the Honey Nut.
There you go. All right. All right, now that the important question is out of the way, let's actually talk baseball. Andrew, you have some pitching questions you'd like to ask Mr. Brown?
Yeah. So, I understand on the Orioles website it says, to be announced for the Sunday starter, but... You think it's probably going to be Wei-Yin Chen?
It is going to be Wei-Yin Chen, as far as I know, because Dan Duquette is basically engaging in some Dan Duquette roster sleight of hand, because after Chen's last start, which he didn't pitch well, by the way, the Orioles got blown out 13-2 in Boston, And a large part of that was Chen having the shortest outing of his career and just not doing well at all. They optioned him to the Gulf Coast League, not because he deserved it, but because they wanted to call up a reliever for a few days. And it turns out that because Chen never had any prior minor league service time, they're allowed to option him straight down to the Gulf Coast League, where he will never actually appear because the season ended Thursday. So since the Gulf Coast League team he was optioned to, the season will be over. They can call him back before the 10-day window is over. So they can call him back up on Sunday to start the game on Sunday, which is what they're going to do.
Well, that's crafty.
Yeah.
That is some cunning GM work there.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive even for him. Like, he's been known to do that kind of thing. Like, they also are doing that with Ryan Flaherty right now, who nobody really cares about Ryan Flaherty, but he was optioned to low A Delmarva Shorebirds just to chill with them for a couple days, and then when their season ends, they're going to call him back up.
Just to buy them
for the
dinners.
Same reason. Yeah. So he's on the hook for a couple days of dinners on the Eastern Shore, but he'll be back before the 10 days is up. For that reason. Not that anyone cares about Ryan Flaherty. I don't know, maybe his mom cares. But...
Waffles, do you care about Ryan Flaherty?
No.
No, I don't.
Ryan Flaherty did hit a home run in the ALDS last year, so he's always got that going for him.
Even more reason to not care about Ryan Flaherty.
Yep.
So, Kevin Gausman, is it Gausman or Gausman?
I have not really figured out. I think it's Gausman, but I've heard it many ways, and I don't know that anyone knows the right way.
All
right. I call him Goose, because that's his nickname to me. Yeah. Hopefully he fares better than Goose from Top Gun.
Poor Goose.
But anyway, Gausman, he'll be out of the bullpen for this series, you think?
Yeah, they haven't given any indication that they're going to throw him into the starting rotation right away. For instance, he warmed up, I think, during the eighth inning of Thursday's win over Boston. So, like, I don't think they're going to have him start in this series or anytime soon. I mean, maybe they'll stretch him out once there's, like, 80 million guys in the bullpen and they call up everyone else on September the 1st. But, you know, for this weekend, I'm pretty sure he's going to be, like, you know, one-inning reliever guy.
So not long reliever?
I mean, that could happen. Hopefully they don't need a long reliever.
Well, hopefully they do. Them's fighting words.
No, they're not.
No, not at all. So Saturday, Scott Feldman is starting against the Yankees. I don't think they've really seen Feldman since he was with the Rangers. How has he been since he came over from the Cubs?
He has been very unlucky because you would think a pitcher, and Scott Feldman being the ground ball pitcher that he is, you would think that pitching in Camden Yards, getting ground balls in front of the Orioles infield, that's very good, would be having success, but... He kind of hasn't supremely. He's got a 4.56 ERA and 9 starts with the Orioles, so that's not exactly lighting the world on fire. But you know, at the back end of the rotation, compared to some of the crap they were slinging out there earlier in the season, for instance, your old friend Sweaty Freddy Garcia got about 10 starts.
Thank you again for starting him.
Yeah. So you know, compared to that, it's kind of an upgrade. But so like, you know, you want to take his FIP is 3.75, so. He's kind of been unlucky in that sense, or hopefully he's been unlucky. I don't know.
But, he's bringing over that Cubs luck.
Yeah, maybe that was it.
Cubs luck.
That was a mistake.
Acquiring former Cubs was a hallmark of our previous GM, and that never worked out very well. Corey Patterson, Felix P.A., Rich Hill.
Lee.
Well, that didn't work out very well either. You're right.
Corey Patterson's currently with the Rail Riders.
How's he doing down there?
He's doing all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never disliked Corey Patterson.
I mean, not well enough that you want him on the Yankees, but...
I thought he was struggling.
I think Mark wants him on the Yankees.
He hits a dinger every once in a while.
That sounds like Corey Patterson.
Other than that...
Strikes out a lot.
The dinger. A dinger.
Other than that, he's kind of...
In the Camden Chat game threads, do you call Feldman like Feldman from across the hall?
I understand that is a reference, and I do not know what it is a reference to.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But do other posters do it?
There is a lot of Feldman across the hall, yes.
Excellent. Good job, Orioles fans.
Yeah, Orioles fans will not let you down.
Corey Patterson has a 46 WRC plus with the Rail Riders.
Well, there you go.
Beautiful.
What a champ.
But 13 home runs.
Yay.
No, that's not right.
All right. right, we're talking about Corey Patterson too much.
Anyway, so yeah, Scott Feldman, serviceable back end of the rotation so far, and that's really all he needs to be.
Would you rather have him over Phil Hughes?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, I would. I would.
I think that might be the easiest question you've ever asked on this podcast, Greg.
I don't know. Usually a Yankee or Mitre of the Week with anything dealing with Chris Stewart screwing up usually is the easiest question.
Phil Hughes and Camden Yard seems like the stuff that nightmares are made out of. Not that Yankee Stadium's any better, but...
Listen, he gives up dingers in Petco Park.
Given Dan Duquette's affinity for signing flyball pitchers, like, four-fifths of the rotation right now is flyball pitchers. It's like, what are you doing having a rotation full of flyball pitchers at Camden Yards? Like, the Orioles lead the world in home runs given up by a pitching staff, and part of that is because even their good pitchers are flyball pitchers. Like, Chen is a flyball pitcher. Chris Tillman is a flyball pitcher. Miguel Gonzalez is a flyball pitcher. Newly acquired Bud Norris, flyball pitcher. Scott Feldman, groundball pitcher.
The bad Cubs luck.
Yeah. Also a bad facial hair. Yeah.
See enough of that on the Red Sox.
Yeah. It's not pretty.
No, it's hideous.
One of our Camden chat commenters likes to say that it's like an organizational goal of the Red Sox to assemble the ugliest cast of white people they possibly can get every season. I think they've pushed it to new heights this season.
Yes.
And that's even after they no longer have Jonathan Papelbon on the team, but they've still restocked their...
Once you recruit Johnny Gomes.
Ugly factory. Yeah.
That's all you need. So Miguel Gonzalez is starting tonight, by the time this goes up, against CC Sabathia. And he's handled the Yankees pretty well the last couple times they've faced him. Do you feel pretty confident, Miguel Gonzalez?
Well, basically all the best games of Miguel Gonzalez's career have come against the Yankees, I think in Yankee Stadium specifically, so that's encouraging for Gonzalez this time.
I'm sure one of our specific commenters will comment on that sometime in the game thread tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
But he's kind of run into some struggles recently, and they had him working out of the bullpen for the last week, and he made a couple of relief appearances, just really short ones, and it was like doing side sessions out of the bullpen so he could do his next start against the Yankees. But at the end of July, he had a stretch of where he gave up 9 runs, although only 4 were earned against Houston in 3 2/3 innings. And the start before that, he gave up 6 runs in 4 2/3 innings. And then he had like 7 2 earned runs against Arizona and 2 earned runs in 5 2/3 against the Rays. But he hasn't like been dominant lately. So I don't know. I don't know if there's anything wrong with him, if he's kind of getting tired or, you know, if he's just, there was a reason why he was a journeyman minor leaguer before the Orioles brought him out of nowhere last year.
It's valid.
You know, so I don't know which it's going to be, but I am hopeful he will kind of turn things back around a bit.
Okay.
Because he had 8 quality starts in a row before this 2 struggling starts that I mentioned. So, you know, he's had some really good stretches this season.
Okay. So on offense, who's been doing really well? Well, aside from Chris Davis, because he's just on.
Yeah. Can you not play him?
Can he ride the bench?
I don't think that's going to be possible to just not play Chris Davis. But well, other than him, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, I guess Machado stopped hitting doubles.
Yeah, Machado has been slumping lately, and. Matt Wieters is like awful in August. It's not very pretty. JJ Hardy's kind of doing well lately, and so is Adam Jones. Like Jones going into tonight had an 860 OPS in August, so he's coming on pretty
That's
well.
Work. Yeah.
And then there's a lot of disappointment. Like Nate McLouth has kind of been falling back into the pack, and second base and designated hitter are just in crap constantly the whole season.
Even though Brian Roberts is back.
Yeah, he's doing okay enough, I guess, but he's not, like, great. He's just less bad.
Yeah, he's definitely not the Brian Roberts of old.
No.
And Matt Wieters, as he said, he's slumping in August, but he's pretty much taking a step back the entire season, right?
Yeah, I am perpetually disappointed by him. It's time to just accept he's never going to be what everyone hoped he would be.
And, Joe Mauer.
Yeah, right. The whole Joe Mauer with power thing never happened.
That was the worst thing to happen to him.
He's not even Joe Mauer. Like, a couple of guys that were my buds from college made a website called Matt Wieters Facts, and it was basically like Chuck Norris Facts, except themed for Matt Wieters, and, you know, it was all just people sent in good-natured submissions, and it was like, Matt Wieters took batting practice. There were no survivors.
Yeah, there you go.
And stuff like that. And but, you know, he's never been that. And it's... So, you know, if those are your expectations for him, well, yeah, that's disappointing. But he's a good defensive catcher. Just
yeah, definitely. He
isn't hitting the lick.
We'll take him.
Well, unfortunately for you guys, he is the Orioles for two more seasons after this.
Well, there was that whole thing with Buck eventually saying he'll be on the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that whole thing.
Speaking of that, how do you like Buck as a manager?
He's frustrating me a lot this year because the way he's using the pitching staff is irritating. But on the whole, I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that the team has been better since he got here. Like, with the parade of just nobody managers that had, like, no standing and it, whatever that came through before him, it was just, it was ugly.
Dave Tremblay.
And, yeah, good old Diamond Dave Tremblay. William Shatner lookalike.
That would make for some great bread posts.
And, I mean, he says the right things for the most part, but it's just like, sometimes he just will hold the starter in for, like, two batters too long. Like, he's done it so many times this season, like, it never fails. In, like, the seventh inning, if a starter has, like, 100 pitches, he'll just, like, bring them out and leave them in for two batters, and it'll be, like, walk home run. And it's happened, like, seven times. It's just like bringing a reliever. But he does.
Yes. Speaking of relievers, what happened to Jim Johnson?
I don't know. It's annoying. He's just very inconsistent this year. Basically, you can tell within about five pitches if he's good Jim Johnson or bad Jim Johnson on the night. And because if the pitches are down and relatively close to the strike zone, it's good Jim Johnson. And if they're just anywhere, it's not good Jim Johnson. And it's probably going to be blown save Jim Johnson, and it's probably going to be Sad Mark.
Yeah. At least you don't have Pedro Strop anymore to deal with.
Yeah, I don't miss Pedro Strop. I think he was a good part of the bullpen last season, and forever thankful to him for that, but he was never going to be that good ever again.
No. How's K-Rod, Vin? Because you traded for him back in July.
The less I think about him, the better.
Oh, well. We feel the same way about K-Rod.
He hasn't been terrible. Like, he basically gave up, like, I think in, like, his first four appearances, he gave up a home run. So that was not exactly the way to endear yourself to a new group of fans. But he's kind of settled down in the since then. But it's still...
Is he being used as, like, the eighth inning guy?
No, he's being used as the pitch in a blowout guy. So it's like, well, do we really need to trade for him?
So,
and when they traded for him, Dan Duquette was like, well, we needed to get a reliever with playoff experience. And it's like, dude, the entire bullpen had playoff experience last year. Like, so what do we need the extra playoff experience for? I didn't understand it.
What did they trade? Didn't they trade, like, some kind of decent first base prospect to get him?
Yeah, Nick Delmonico was kind of down there, but he had some promise. But apparently not. They weren't so enthused with him that they didn't rather have Francisco Rodriguez.
Need those mops. Jabba Chamberlain.
I guess you do. There does need to be a mop. I don't know why they needed to trade for a mop.
Well, didn't they have a mop in Steve Johnson?
I don't know. There was a revolving door of mop-up guys. Steve Johnson's in the minor leagues right now because he's just not that good. So
yeah. Okay.
There's not exactly a burning need to have Steve Johnson on the Orioles.
There's enough one bad Johnson.
Yeah. Pretty much.
What do you think about the Orioles claiming Michael Morse and Josh Willingham?
I was trying to talk myself into the Josh Willingham thing last night when I looked at his career numbers. I don't know that it's going to be all that good if they actually get him, because I saw that he basically missed a bunch of time this year with a torn meniscus, and he hasn't been good since he came back. So it's like, well, are you wanting to bank on a 34-year-old outfielder rebounding from a bad season in the last month? And then he signed for next year, so it's like, well, maybe he'll get better over the offseason, but maybe then he'll just be a 35-year-old outfielder next year who's even more injury-prone and not any good. But the things that I liked about him when I looked at his career numbers is he basically doesn't have strong platoon splits at all. He hits lefties and righties about equally well. And the Orioles have had an awful designated hitter situation basically the entire season. And it's been a couple months now where they've just been trying to, like, platoon guys. So it would be, you know, if there was a Josh Willingham who could actually hit decently and hit both sides about as well, then, you know, there's value for that for the Orioles because they don't have to have two roster spots on just the DH, which is basically what they've been doing since probably the beginning of July, if not longer.
Do you think they work anything out for either one of them?
I don't know. I don't think so, because my rule of thumb for any trade rumor is nothing is going to happen. And sometimes it does, but for the most part, nothing is going to happen. Like, I haven't heard it get to the point where they're talking about specific players or anything like that. I don't want any part of Michael Morse. He's having an even worse season, and I don't see why that would change.
Yeah.
Plus, he's just a rental, and it's like, why?
Yeah, he had April where he was hitting home runs, and then he's been pretty quiet since then. Not Vernon Wells quiet since April, but he's pretty dismal.
It's basically the same thing for Willingham, because I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but he had like a 900-something OPS in April, and he's been... Yeah, he had a 944 OPS in April, and it's been below 700 every month since, including July, where he didn't play at all because torn meniscus and surgery.
I guess he would kind of just have like a part-time role or so, something like that, even if he did end up on the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, they'd probably just have him be the DH, and maybe this year they'd only have him DH against lefties or something. His splits this season are actually identical in terms of OPS against lefties and righties, which I find interesting. Hmm. But it's a 729 OPS, so whatever. But that's still better than what the Orioles have had at designated hitter so far this year. They've just had a running parade of terrible, basically.
Well, both our teams will still be playing on Sunday when rosters expand. I know we're kind of hoping for a few additions. Do you guys have anyone that you expect to be up besides Chen? Might help.
I don't think they're going to call up anyone other than Chen just on Sunday. I would be surprised if they did. I mean, they might call up a couple, like, bullpen arms or something, but nobody that's really going to matter. That would be, like, guys that they've just had, you know, through the year kind of come and appear, but just, like, nobody that matters. Like, maybe a Zach Britton or the aforementioned Steve Johnson. Henry Arrudia will maybe come back up to do whatever it is he's supposed to do.
Do you think they'll call up Jonathan Scope before September is out?
I heard his name mentioned by one of our beat writers as a possible call-up. Maybe he would be like kind of come in the seventh inning and play second base for the rest of the game. Like, I don't think offensively he's ready to contribute, but probably he would be a better defensive second baseman than like Brian Roberts, for instance. Or, you know, he could back up J.J. Hardy and give J.J. Hardy an off day or something. Because I think the Orioles have one off day in September, something like that. So, you know, a couple of these kind of veteran guys. And Roberts himself could use you know, an off day or two going through that stretch of games. So somebody like Scope could possibly be that. And, you know, then maybe Scope can get a little major league time, and maybe he'll end up being like the opening day second baseman next season or something like that.
But does Brian Roberts' contract expire after this year?
Yeah, Brian Roberts' contract will finally be over after this season. He got a 4-year, $40 million extension covering 2010 through this season, and it's been largely a waste, and it will finally be over.
But yeah, if he steps on second base wrong, he'll crumble to the ground. So.
Well, yeah, he basically got hurt in, what, like the third game of the season? Or was it even the first game of the season? Yeah. I don't know, but he was stealing second base, and then something ripped.
Yeah, I remember that play, because it looked like the slide was normal, but then he was like, I am in massive pain.
Yeah, it was just whatever. But he hasn't really hurt himself since he came back again, but he is fragile and old for a second baseman.
What do you think the Orioles will need for a playoff push, if anything?
Well, basically they need to win 20 of their last 30 games, and even then I'm not sure that'll be good enough, and I don't know that they have that in them this season. Their longest winning streak is 5 games, and they've only done that once. I think they've had 3 4-game winning streaks. They just basically don't sweep. They don't do it. So it makes it hard to string together wins when you're just not even winning all the games of one series, and it's just, I don't know. But when the starting rotation is what it's been, of course they're not getting sweeps.
I was about to ask, well, what do you think, say they don't make it, because the Yankees are kind of in the same boat right now. What do you think they need to do to plan for 2014?
Well, they need to not expect the bullpen to be as good as it was in 2012. I don't know what the way is to fix that, because whatever, but they need a more consistent starting rotation also, because they've had some stupid number of starters. It might even be like 13 different starters. It might actually be more than that. And, you know, you can't be doing that and in the playoff push. Oh, excuse me. They've had 14 different starters.
It's almost the number of third basemen we've had this year.
So it's just been cycling through so many guys that just aren't all that good. And then it's the question of, well, who is your rotation? I don't know.
Sounds like you need to sign Phil Hughes for rotation help and Jabba Chamberlain for bullpen relief.
I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked if Duquette was like, oh yeah, we'll sign Phil Hughes or whatever. Like, I mean, whatever. Flyball pitchers and Camden Yards, what could possibly go wrong? I kind of imagine maybe if Chris Tillman and Wei-Yin Chen and Miguel Gonzalez are all decent next year. Like, they all have ERAs under four this year, which is, that's good for Orioles standards. And maybe Kevin Gausman next year will be something close to passable. And then fifth starter, whatever, cycles through guys is fine. But the problem for the Orioles this year is they were cycling through, like, in the 3, 4, and 5 spots for quite some time. So if that was better next year, that would be good. They need a not have a terrible second base spot offensively and not have a terrible designated hitter for like the entire year. That would be helpful.
Not at second base, but I think we know that feeling with the cycling through DHing and our 20-some third baseman.
Yeah, like Orioles designated hitters this year, and I don't think this includes Thursday's numbers, but they're batting .214 with a .278 on base percentage and a .387 slugging percentage. That's the DH collectively.
That's
this
not
year.
Much designated pretty, hitting.
No, it's not very good. So they need to have that be better, and you know, maybe a Josh Willingham can do that. And
they need to have Chris Davis be Chris Davis again. How surprised are you by how fantastic he's been this season?
Well, I mean, it's not super shocking considering he hit 33 home runs last year. It's not like he came out of nowhere to do it, but it's been astounding and kind of impressive to watch, because by this point, everyone knows how you should try and pitch Chris Davis to not have home runs be the outcome. And, you know, even knowing that, he just will hit so many pitches. Like, he can just hit home runs anywhere. Like, his spray chart of home runs is the whole field. So he will hit bad pitches and hit home runs, and he will go and fetch pitches and hit home runs. And
I really enjoy how effortless
fresh mistake pitches. Yeah, it's amazing.
I really enjoy how effortless his swing is too. I know Jeff Sullivan had an article on Fangraphs up earlier this year about like the 10 effortless Chris Davis home runs, and he just doesn't even look like he's hitting weak pop ups in those flips, but they go out of the park.
I know, that is the Chris Davis experience.
He's probably going to set the Orioles home run record for a single season.
Yeah, he's only 3 away from tying it and 4 away from breaking it.
I think that'll be good. Yeah, get Brady Anderson's silliness off the record books.
Yeah, that would be okay. Although my Cam and Chad co-manager Stacy might be sad because she always liked Brady Anderson, but I think Chris Davis being the single season home run leader, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, he.
Sorry, Stacy.
He is an actual home run hitter, so.
And he didn't come out of nowhere to do it. He's just always been a strong guy, and it's like finally, this year, he's kind of harnessed his potential. Yeah.
And the Rangers traded him for Koji Uehara.
2 months of Koji.
2 months of Koji Uehara. Not that Koji Uehara is bad at all, but still. Oof.
No. I would like Koji Uehara in the Orioles bullpen this year, for instance.
Yes. Instead, he's in the Red Sox bullpen, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm still a little sad about that. I'm sad seeing Koji in a Red Sox uniform.
Sad seeing most people in a Red Sox uniform. It's a uniform of sin and century.
Especially Koji. Like, he was a favorite for Orioles fans because he was just, like, so delightfully weird. Like, he has this whole high-five thing. Like, if you ever see him go in the dugout after he, like, strikes somebody out, he just, like, high-fives everybody. He has funny looking sideburns, and like I could imagine if he was on a good Orioles team, everybody in Baltimore would be like growing out Koji Uehara sideburns for like playoff beard kind of thing. But the thing is, and I've had to get used to this, we don't have to get attached to random relievers anymore. The Orioles are just good. We don't have to cling to like a Koji Uehara as the one good part of the team. So that's actually better.
Like, who is the George Sherrill? Yeah.
Good guy. Yeah. Good old flat brim. He was doing the flat brim before it was cool to have the flat brim.
Hipster Oriole fan right here?
It was hipster George Sherrill.
Ah.
I think CeCe Sabathia was doing the flat brim when he was on the Indians.
Well, maybe he was the original.
Or maybe he just copied George Sherrill.
I would say that's probably unlikely.
Probably not. All right.
I got nothing else.
You have anything more, Tanya?
No.
What about a prediction for the series?
I don't even know what to predict about this series.
Yeah, seriously.
It's kind of make or break for both of us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like whoever wins it gets to continue dreaming of the playoffs, and whoever loses it is like, well, see you next year.
Probably. It's pretty dire for the Yankees right now. I think they're 5.5 out of the wild card, or 5.
A lot of teams that we needed to lose tonight lost.
Yeah, they got really lucky.
The A's lost.
They got really lucky that the A's lost, because Detroit needed a huge comeback.
Yeah, I mean, the Orioles are 3.5 back after Oakland lost, and it's like, you got to pull back a game out of every 10, and that doesn't seem like a lot, but then it's like...
Yeah, and it's even tougher for the Yankees, who are 1.5 at least further behind than the Orioles. They have to get ahead of the Orioles, too. So.
Also, the Indians are in between.
That's true. The Orioles passed the Indians, didn't they?
They did tonight pass the Indians.
Personally, I'm counting on Boston to fail again.
I'm not counting on that anymore.
I always
got some kind of weird magic powering them in their ugly beards or something.
So we just need to shave them, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, like, but then, I don't know, but then, like, Jacoby Ellsbury's doing well, and he doesn't have a beard, so maybe there's some other magic at play also.
That's because they're getting rid of him.
It's possible.
Maybe they'll just get out-bearded in the playoffs by the A's. I'd be okay with that.
I mean, at that point, I'd be on anybody but the Red Sox wagon, so...
It's true.
That's usually where I go.
Common wagon.
Do you hate the Rays?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't like them, but I don't like have, you know, the fires of hatred constantly being stoked in my heart or anything like that.
I do whenever we step into that stadium. I despise that stadium immensely.
I mean, they're working their way up there with the whole Fernando Rodney thing going on and like every jerk player in baseball pretty much.
Josh Lukey.
Yeah, they're and you know, Luke Scott and you know Escobar. Well, so they have Delman Young kicking around the minors now or something?
True.
All right, well, that's it for our special guest from Camden Chat, Mr.
Oh, Mark. I'm a special guest? Well, thank you.
You're our only guest, really, so that makes you special.
Well, thank you. It was fun to be on here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
All right, again, special thanks to special guest Mark Special Brown for coming on our special podcast. And... as always, our special feature of the Pinstripe Alley podcast, the Yankee and the Mitre of the Week. And it'll be quick because we're down a post. So, Waffles, Yankee of the Week, go.
Alfonso Soriano.
Oh, sure. Vixari.
Well,
fair choice.
Has been,
Andrew.
Soriano has been pretty phenomenal.
He has, yes. Andrew, go.
I'm going to go with... Let's go with Mark Reynolds. He got a home run and then played second base.
Yeah, and he didn't embarrass himself, so.
No, he was semi-decent.
Yep.
All right, my choice, Andy Pettit. It's nice to see good Andy back and getting ground balls, you know, getting out of situations, going a decent distance. So I was very happy with Andy pitching well, so he gets my Yankee of the Week because who knows how much longer I'll have to give – Andy Pettit, Yankees of the Week. All right. The Chris Stewart of the Week, should we just call? No, Mitre of the Week, Waffles, go.
Well, I feel like we're all going to say Stewart, so...
I'm actually not saying Stewart. So.
Well, I was going to say, like, aside from Stewart, I would probably give it to Ichiro, because dude's so...
All right. So, Andrew, you're a mutual.
Screw it. Stewart.
Well, you have to give another one, because yeah. I said Stewart and then someone
Chris,
else. We're all going to say
Stewart. One for
Fair
16. okay, fine.
He's the worst.
Give me a moment. Will you do your mutual of the week first, Greg?
All right. Mine, besides Chris Stewart, is actually Hirooki Kuroda. I mean, you've been great all year, but why'd you have to suck now? We need you to not suck, to be unsucky, to just pitch well like you have for the majority of the year. But we can't have nice things, so...
We're not asking for July every month. We're
Seriously.
Just asking for not...
Not multiple home runs for
starting. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so that is my non-Chris Stewart Mitre of the week.
Phil Hughes. I'm overthinking.
There you go.
I was about to say, I wonder why it took you so long, because he was my other choice besides...
I tried to forget about him, but... for being Phil Hughes, and just go away.
go
pitch on the Royals next year.
And take Java with you. Go form a club with Ian Kennedy...
Just go. Just
on an
just
island somewhere near the Galapagos Islands. I don't care. Just leave.
Just go.
It's like Batman, you know, in Batman Begins. It's like, it's not a joke. Just go.
Don't even turn around. Just that way. Forever that way.
The door is going to hit you on the way out. Now, be gone.
And the humbler will guard it so that you can't get back in.
None shall pass.
Jabba Chamberlain has appeared in two more games than Mariano Rivera in the past week.
We're trying to end the podcast on a funny note, and you bring out that crap.
That is kind of a testament to how bad the Yankees have been this week.
It is, but, you know, it's still just...
But Jabba, why?
Remember last week when our podcast was kind of happy and hopeful?
Yeah, that was fun.
Good times.
Thanks, Yankees.
Wait
asses.
Okay. All right, so... I guess that ends our podcast today. Again, you can always follow us on Pinstripe Bible on Twitter. That is D-less.
And Yankees Gifts.
Yes, and our new Twitter handle, Yankees Gifts, which, again, Andrew and Waffles contribute a bit to, I suppose. You know, I'm just kidding. They're actually very diligent in their gifting. So... kudos to them, and kudos to new giffer Matthew F. I don't remember his
Loratos?
Last name, I'll be quite honest.
Is that it?
Nice.
I don't want to try to say it out loud, because I don't want to I don't want to be that person who can't say it, because I'm used to that with my
well,
name.
That's me.
So, Matthew
F. I'll just
F.
say Matthew F, yeah.
But we already have a Matthew F.
No, he's second... Matt F.
Yeah, he's
oh,
Matt F.
Okay.
So yeah, two Twitter handles, and again, the Yankees GIF one is a work of art, I think. Just need a new background. But other than that, as always, you can tweet us questions at the former Twitter handle or on our site. Of course, look for the TweetBag post that Andrew tends to post all the time. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for the Pinstripe Alley podcast. So, for Waffles, or Tanya, Andrew... for Jason and Jail, thank you for trying to get J.R. Murphy up to the team. Good luck, and don't drop the soap. Thank you to special guest Mark Brown for coming on the team. Thank you, and...
for coming on the team?
Yeah, team, show,
team.
Whatever.
Good team.
And I'm Greg Kirkland, I'm giving you a raise, and I'm definitely not dropping the soap. I said soap.